The Georgia Senate passed a bill last month to tighten regulation of methadone clinics. Methadone treats opioid addiction by blocking withdrawal symptoms. Georgia has more than 70 of these clinics. That's the most in the South. Joining me now is Neal Campbell. She oversees the Georgia Council on Substance Abuse. It's good to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
The obvious question is why? Why do we have so many here? Because neighboring states have like a handful.
I think the answer to that is just regulation. I think other states, I'm not an expert on other states, but I know that one thing that inhibits or prohibits the opening of treatment centers is often regulatory issues.
So we spoke with Catoosa County Sheriff Gary Sisk. He's in the northwest corner of the state. He says that Georgia's clinic actually pulls people in from other states, and he thinks that has to do with, for example, Tennessee has very tight regulations on their methadone clinics. So here's a clip of him speaking.
We were being inundated with medical-assisted treatment centers solely because we sit on I-75 at the Georgia-Tennessee line, and Tennessee has a much more regimented and strict application process. So they were just coming to Georgia because our regulations really weren't up to par.
And he was in his car. That's why all that background noise. What exactly happens at a methadone clinic? Why, if somebody is being treated for opioid addiction, what happens when they get to one of these clinics?
There's a whole process they go through for application and getting assessed, and then they get, I don't operate one of these, but then they get treated for their addiction. They get seen by hopefully professional counselors. They get seen by a medical doctor. They get seen by probably nursing staff too. So they are staffed up. These clinics are staffed up to treat people with an opiate use disorder.
So what are the regulations that Tennessee has, for example, that Georgia should or might consider?
I'm sorry, I'm not an expert on Tennessee, but I...
But what regulations might we have here that maybe could be implemented
sure.
at our clinics?
If you look at Senator Mullis's bill, what they're trying to do is have to determine by population and by region how many centers should be there with no more than a maximum of four. So they have the state broken up into 49 regions, and then there you have to apply. You have to go through an application process. You have to, and this is per the law. It hasn't passed yet. It passed through the Senate.
Right.
It made it through crossover day, so it's going to go to the House, and then we'll see what happens. We're watching this bill very closely. It would be a little harder than it is right now to get a license to open one of these programs.
To open one.
Correct.
Would it affect also clinics that are already open?
My understanding is that those will be grandfathered in, that if at a certain date, I don't have that date in my head, but that you would not, it would be, you'd be considered if you're already there and there's more than four, I don't think it's going to affect you.
It's not going to close it down.
Correct.
Let's hear again from Gary Sisk. He's the Catoosa County Sheriff. He is worried about these clinics because he says they pose a public safety concern.
Unfortunately, around these centers, typically we have an increase of crime. We have issues of people that are abusing the system, and then they're driving on our roadways under the influence of drugs and/or methadone.
What are the concerns from your point of view around methadone clinics and the profusion of them?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about public safety. So what are your concerns that you think might lead to more regulation?
I'm not sure I understand the question. I would say we think regulation is good. What we want to make sure, what we want people to know are two things. Medication-assisted treatment works, right? The second thing is it works if it's paired with a behavioral therapy. You don't want to have a clinic where you're just getting dosed with methadone and nothing is happening with your life. Recovery is not just not using drugs or reducing your illegal drug use and taking something that's legal. That's not recovery. Recovery is getting your life back. Most people are coming to these centers and they're in a lot of pain. Their lives have been devastated by their drug addiction. Their families are destroyed. Their communities. I agree with the sheriff. There can be a lot of crime around these places. However, when someone comes to get help, it's more than just getting a dose of methadone or getting a dose of Suboxone or whatever, or Vivitrol or whatever the medication is. So there has to be more than just that. We would like to see that behavioral therapy also be in place at these centers. So you don't have what the sheriff was talking about, an increase of crime in the area, where you start talking about demand reduction, where people want their lives to get better. They're not there to just abuse the system.
Do methadone clinics collaborate in the way that you're talking about for a full plan of care?
They should have within their centers, they should have, and I believe the current regulations say they have to have some form of behavioral therapy. I'm not sure how closely those therapies are looked at. Are they evidence-based? Do they actually work? Are they what the people need? You can have, there are centers that do have the whole range of services, including aftercare, or we call it continuing care, because addiction is a preventable, treatable, chronic condition, right? So it has to be managed over time. Once you're through with your, quote, treatment regimen, you have to get your life back. I'm a person in long-term recovery. For me, that means it's been 26 years since I've had my last drink or illegal drug, right? And I speak out about my recovery because there is so much stigma and discrimination attached to addiction. And everybody I work with, I have 9 staff at the Georgia Council. We're all people in recovery. And we speak out about it a lot because we think you don't get to see people like me who work and pay taxes and have, you know, got my life back in meaningful ways. You don't get to see that necessarily in the media. So we're trying to get out there and say, hey, we do get better. But you don't hear that very often. So we want to show, you know, that's one of the things we get concerned about when people say, well, we don't want so many clinics. Is it because you don't want people like me in your neighborhood? Right. What we want to show is you do want people like me because we do get better.
Now, opioid addiction is not only epidemic at this point. The CDC has said it's at epidemic levels, but it's also particularly deadly. It damages a lot of lives and it kills a lot of people.
Yeah.
We have not yet gotten a handle on opioid epidemic addiction in the way that we feel we have with, say, smoking or alcohol.
That's right.
What do you think needs to happen, or what's blocking us from having a better handle on the opioid addiction?
Well, in 2009, all state dollars for the majority, about 95% of state dollars for opiate addiction treatment were cut during the recession. That was almost $2 million. We'd like to see that funding be restored. So I think you do need more treatment. We need prevention efforts. We need to show, especially the young people who are getting, starting to use opiates. I tell the story all the time. When I had my wisdom teeth out, 30 years ago, I got Tylenol. You get your wisdom teeth out now, you get a prescription for OxyContin in some cases. 30 OxyContin pills. I mean, there's just so many opiates on the market. So the prescribing has to get reduced. So there's a whole lot of interventions that we think could happen. I think prevention, having early intervention, screening people for opiate use disorder, I think that could happen in a lot of different places, especially medical centers, healthcare facilities, school-based health clinics, start asking young people if they're having an issue, and then doing something about it, treatment, and then recovery support on the back end.
How long does somebody end up on taking methadone? How long are you supposed to take methadone or any of the other drugs they use for withdrawal symptoms before they consider to be not physically addicted anymore?
So that's a really tricky question.
Yeah.
Because it depends on the age you started, how much you used, what else is going on in your life. You have people whose brains, I'm not a doctor, but we have seen, and I actually know people whose their brain function and structure has been changed by their opiate use. And so they may always have to be on medication. Right?
For the rest of their lives.
Right. Right.
But conceivably, somebody could be visiting one of these clinics for weeks, if not months.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do we have enough clinics to treat all the people in Georgia?
Well, not everybody needs medication for treatment. I know several people. I have someone in my office who was not on medication. She's a former heroin user. She is not on medication. She didn't use medication. She got better through a mutual support group and individual counseling, right? So there's an array. It's like you don't treat everybody with diabetes with the same regimen. It's the same thing with addiction. Different things work for different people at different times. So I don't know the magic number of narcotic treatment programs that should be in Georgia. I don't have that number. I don't think anybody
does.
And
we don't actually know how many people are suffering from opioid addiction
That's
in Georgia.
Right.
We don't have a good number.
That's correct.
Which means that the number of clinics we need could be higher or it could be lower.
Right.
So you are hoping, I assume, that these regulations get passed through the House and signed by the governor. You're hoping that they get enacted into law?
We're watching it. There's a couple of things we'd like to see. As an advocate, I have to say there's a couple of things we'd like to see at least explained a little bit in the legislation. There's, in terms of the oversight, in terms of, you know, if you say they're going to be regulated, is there actually a budget or a funding that goes with that?
Because you have to pay inspectors to go and make sure that they're being supervised.
Right. And what are they looking at? What do those rules say? What is good care? Are we really looking at, you know, the Drug Abuse Treatment and Education Program rule was written in the 80s. And the quote, technology and the approach to addiction has changed since then. So we need to look at all of that. There's a new commissioner of the Department of Community Health. Would love to see, him take a real hard look, and I have confidence that he will, at these regulations and make sure that it's not just measuring square footage of a room, or it's not just measuring, you know, just checking off boxes, but we're actually determining whether people are getting good care.
And some of this is going to depend on what happens with healthcare in general nationwide, because a huge amount of Georgia's healthcare fund comes from the ACA, Obamacare.
Correct. And one of the things about the Affordable Care Act that we like is that addiction treatment was an essential benefit. So it had prevention, treatment, and recovery support in the law that you had to, if you're an insurance company, you have to provide parity with health, with regular physical health. So
you guys are watching a lot of things.
Watching a lot of things.
That is Neal Campbell. She is the executive director of the Georgia Council on Substance Abuse. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Celeste.